Hi, this is Pastor Gary Brumbelow. Thank you for clicking on to listen to a sermon from Troutdale Community Church. I hope you find real benefit from what you're about to hear, and I hope we get a chance to meet you sometime. If you're ever in the vicinity of Troutdale, 921 Buxton Road, a half mile above downtown Troutdale, may God bless you richly. So welcome here this morning. I'm going to read from Proverbs 1, verses 20 to 33, as we continue our Summer of Wisdom series in Proverbs. This will be our third Sunday to do that. And today we come to this passage in Proverbs 1 as kind of a warning passage. It's an important one for all of us. And I encourage you to follow along as I read Proverbs 1, 20 to 33. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's try that again. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now let's ask the Lord again for his blessing and enablement. Father, we come now to your word in the sequence of this worship service. We come and we want to come under its authority. We want to give attention to what you say to us here. You're the God who knows us. You're the God who created all things. And we, as your creatures made in your image, need your wisdom and your light, your insight and truth. Oh, how we need it. Father, and we freely confess that. Spirit of God, please have your way with us as we hear from your word now. Lord, teach us wisdom. Give us what we need. We look to you, Lord. We wait for you in Jesus' name. Every day, humans make bad choices and then live with the consequences, or not. Actually, sometimes they don't live. Sometimes the consequences means that they die. Humans need to listen to the warnings around them. Like, don't do that. Don't go there. And even sometimes that way lies death. And we have a very powerful illustration of this in the story of Timothy Treadwell, who needed to listen to a warning and didn't. Timothy Treadwell met an untimely death in Katmai National Park, Alaska, known for its grizzly population. He believed that he had a unique relationship with these bears, that they trusted him. And he hung around with them. Sometimes he even touched them. He was warned repeatedly. The National Park Service said to him many times, don't go there. Your life is at risk. They cited him for at least 6 violations in an effort to get him to change, including not moving his camp every week. That was one of the rules that he broke. Storing food in his tent. Making direct contact with the bears. One wildlife biologist said a person could not have designed a more dangerous place to set up a camp. The superintendent of Katmai National Park told him if we had any more violations from him, we would petition the U.S. magistrate to ban him from the park. One swipe of a paw would undo all the positive publicity. And of course, her words proved tragically prophetic, because on October 5, 2003, authorities flew in and found the partial remains of Timothy Treadwell's body and of his girlfriend. A little later, they killed a grizzly that had human remains in his stomach. They also found an audio recording of their final moments. And it's a recording that's never been released because it's just too terrible to hear. Timothy Treadwell ignored the warnings, that way lies death. And he paid for it in an unspeakable fashion. And we see in that story the same warning, an illustration of the same warning here in Proverbs 1, 20 to 33. That way lies death. Don't go there. And it's a warning you need to hear. It's easy to dismiss the story of Timothy Treadwell as extreme folly, a mental confusion that you would never imitate, and probably not. But it's a good picture of the consequences of ignoring wisdom. I mean, to be killed by a grizzly bear, by a beast of prey, would be, I can't imagine how horrible that would be. And yet, to perish eternally for lack of wisdom is no less profound. Really, it's more profound, isn't it? Timothy Treadwell was killed because of the choices he made. And you are making choices today that could set your feet, let me rephrase that. You could make choices that would set your feet on the path to eternal destruction. And in fact, that's the normal human tendency. Foolishness is the default human wiring. That's why we have passages like this in the Bible. In fact, it's inescapable unless you avail yourself of the wisdom and life bound up in a person, as we will see this morning. But I want you to note what this text is saying to you. Don't go there. That way lies death. And here, wisdom is personified. It's presented as a woman speaking, calling out to all who will listen. And this text says 4 things about this call of wisdom to don't go there. That way lies death. And the first is this. This call is unmistakable. To miss it is inexcusable. The call of wisdom is clear and strong. There's no excuse for not hearing it. Wisdom is clearly speaking to you. Look again at verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. In those 2 verses, 4 lines, 4 times, it says wisdom is calling. Did you see that? Cries aloud. Raises her voice, cries out, speaks. And 4 times it makes reference to the very public nature of wisdom's warning. It's out there. She's in the street. She's in the market. She's at the head of the noisy streets. She's at the entrance to the city gates. In other words, God has put wisdom right in front of you. very clearly, very unmistakably. It's right there. No one will ever say to God, well, I had no warning. Nobody told me about the consequences of ignoring wisdom. I never knew there was danger. No one can say that because wisdom's call is unmistakable. For one thing, God has put in the heart of every human something called a conscience. Yes, an inner voice that beckons you, an inner reminder that directs you onto the right path. To hear what God is saying to you and respond. That's the conscience on the inside. But that's not all. All around you is a creation that God designed very intentionally to point you to truth, to speak wisdom to you. We see this in the first chapter of Romans. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. You see there the human tendency to folly, ungodliness, unrighteousness, suppressing the truth. And you see the unmistakable nature of God's wisdom. It's plain to them. God has shown it to them. His invisible attributes have been clearly perceived. It's right there. It's there in your conscience. It's there in the creation around you. And by the way, here's another place where God speaks wisdom to you. In your pain. Human pain is God speaking wisdom to you. Writer C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, and shouts to us in our pain. That's God speaking. Don't go there. That is into the way of folly. Don't go there. That way lies death. Wisdom calls to humans as they go on the road to death, turn around and come back. The call is unmistakable. To miss it is inexcusable. That's what we see in those first two verses. And then we come to verse 22 and 23, where we see that the call of wisdom is merciful. To ignore it is absurd. It's a merciful call. God loves you. His grace and mercy wants to draw you away from folly, away from danger. Why would anyone ignore this call? 22, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Wisdom's call is merciful. To ignore it is absurd. Doesn't make sense. If your doctor warned you that by your continued smoking, you are going to get lung cancer that will be incurable, well, it would be very foolish to ignore that, wouldn't it? If you were driving on a country road and you saw a sign that said bridge out ahead, would you step on the gas? So in the same way, to ignore the merciful cry of wisdom is absurd. Don't go there. That way lies death. Look at the strong language the writer uses to capture the urgency of the call. He asks a question. That is, wisdom is asking the question. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long? You see there the human tendency to ignore God's wisdom, to believe, well, I can do this. I can do this myself, as if we were still 2 years old. And of course, nobody would say, well, I really love being naive. You know, I get a real kick out of being stupid. I hate knowledge. But from God's perspective, that's exactly what's happening. And the only word for it is absurd. And yet, in his mercy, because of his mercy, he reaches out with this gracious offer. If you will listen, I will give you fullness and joy. Verse 23, if you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make my words known to you. See that? Pour out my spirit on you. Your Bible may say, Your Bible may say, I poured out my heart. The word pictures an uncontrolled gushing of refreshing water on dry ground. So picture a parched sort of desert ground. But right next to it is this reservoir of refreshing water. But there's a dam keeping that water from flooding this parched land. That dam is wisdom, is human folly. Human folly holding back the refreshing life of God. And when you act in wisdom, when you listen to wisdom, you break the dam. And God's life and wisdom comes into your life. His fullness flows into your mind and heart. I wonder, do you long for the life that God has for you? Do you want his life to be poured into you? The psalmist wrote, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Are you panting for God today? Because he will come. He will pour out his spirit to those who listen to his wisdom. Because that's the kind of God he is. In his mercy, God reaches out to sinners. He makes himself known. He offers peace to the troubled heart. He offers joy to the miserable, strength to the weak. He doesn't have to do these things. He's compelled only by his love, his mercy and grace. And that's what we see here. The call of wisdom is merciful. To ignore it is absurd. If you long to find the life God has for you, don't ignore the merciful cry of wisdom. That's what we see in 22 and 23. But let's just acknowledge something. Many people do ignore it. And most of the writer's attention in this text is directed to the consequences of ignoring God's wisdom. And here's one way to sum up 24 to 31. The call of wisdom is consequential. That is, it has consequences. To reject it is disastrous. To refuse wisdom leads to ruin. Calamity comes from saying no to wisdom. 24, because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. The call of wisdom is consequential. To reject it is disastrous. What we're reading here is one of the themes that runs all through the scripture. We see in Isaiah, for example, I will destine you to the sword, and all of you shall bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not listen. But you did what was evil in my eyes and chose what I did not delight in. Jeremiah, And now, because you have done all these things, declares the Lord, and when I spoke to you persistently, you did not listen, and when I called, you did not answer, I will do to the house that is called by my name and in which you trust, and to the place that I gave to you and to your fathers, as I did to Shiloh, in other words, great destruction and devastation. And then we read in the New Testament, Jesus saying, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. If you refuse the call of wisdom, you will experience ruin and disaster. Timothy Treadwell rejected the wisdom that could have saved his life, and that rejection led to an unspeakable fate. And so even today, those who reject the call of wisdom, speaking God's truth into their life, will eventually experience ruin and loss. God will not be trifled with. That's really what we're talking about. God will not be trifled with. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And you know, the writer uses an interesting word picture here to capture the foolishness of rejecting God's wisdom. Did you see it? Maybe it jumped out at you. Verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. What wisdom laughs when sinners who have ignored God's call suffer the consequences? To our 21st century sensitivities, that seems so wrong, so out there, so intolerant. But I suggest to you that it's not at all. And here's why I say that. It's actually exactly the same way you're wired. Stay with me here. Sometimes we see injustice. We see somebody do something and it's wrong. They mistreat somebody, or they break the rules, or somehow that's wrong, and it bothers us. Or sometimes we see something and they actually get what's coming to them, and there's a good feeling about that. There's a sort of an inner yes when they get what's coming to them. You know why? Because you're made in God's image. And God is a God of justice. And so because you're made in the image of God, you want justice. Inherently, deep down, you want justice. And injustice unaddressed, it just feels wrong. And that's because you're like God in that way. That lift of heart that you feel when justice is served up and somebody gets what he had coming to him, that lift of heart that you feel, and of course you can nurture it. You don't want to do that. You don't want to nurse it. But that initial lift is a little picture of how God rejoices when justice prevails over injustice. When truth is vindicated. When what was upside down is turned right side up. That's how to read verse 26. I will laugh at your calamity. It could be like this. You're driving down the highway. You're trying to observe the laws of the road and be considerate of other drivers. And then somebody goes flying by you at 90 miles an hour. How do you feel about that? Why does that bother you so much? Because it does. He's not being considerate of others. I have to keep the rules. Why doesn't he have to keep the rules? It's at least discouraging to you, and depending on your wiring, it might really make your blood boil. But you go a couple of miles, and by golly, what do you see? here's the patrol car pulled over. His lights are flashing, and at first you don't know who's in front of him. Then you get a little closer and you see, ah, there's that 90 mile an hour guy that went blowing by me back there. Yes! You see? Now, you have to be very careful with that. I just want to say, I'm not encouraging you. The Bible says, vengeance is mine. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. So don't nurture that. It's going to wash over you because you're made in the image of God and you want justice, and that's fine. And then let it go. Fight the temptation to wave at him, you know, and make a big deal about it. Wisdom's call is consequential. To reject it is disastrous. And notice how the writer describes the disaster that comes on the one who rejects wisdom. Look at verse 27. When terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. He speaks of terror, that which brings fear, trembling, that which you dread. Every child has nightmares. Everyone knows what terror is, and this is terror that strikes you like a storm, a great fear and dread that washes over and brings destruction in your life in some way. Calamity, it says, like a whirlwind. Oh, like a whirlwind. May I suggest that every time you see a tornado, you're seeing a picture of the devastation of justice on those who have rejected God's folly. Because tornadoes are big whirlwinds, okay? Your calamity comes like a whirlwind, like the tornado that hit Joplin, Missouri in 2011. Killed 158 people, injured 1,150 people, caused $2.8 billion in damage. Now, I'm not saying, hear me, I'm not saying that the tornado on Joplin, Missouri was calamity on people, God judging them. I'm not saying that it's more complicated than that. That's not the point. The point is that every tornado is a picture of the devastation that comes from folly. And this one was a lot of devastation. Jeff Petrowski is a weatherman who was one of the few people who actually watched the Joplin tornado do its destructive work. He says, I was on 20th Street when this thing came down. It was about 100 yards wide. It got wider and wider. There were millions of pieces of debris flying over me. Further on 20th Street, there were about 400 to 500 homes flattened. No walls standing. All I could hear was gas spewing from all the broken gas lines. Homes and buildings were on fire, engulfed in flames within seconds. And then all I heard were screams and moans of terror. Help me, help me. Blood-curdling screams from all over the neighborhood. I got within 50 yards of the first houses, and the first thing I saw in the middle of the street was the debris. 2 to 4 feet deep everywhere. I saw bodies in front yards. People got blown out of their houses, dead and alive. I personally, hand by hand, dug 40 different people out of their homes and the rubble, both dead and alive. Read Proverbs 1:27 and imagine yourself in the path of the Joplin tornado with no place to run, no place to hide. Wisdom doesn't deal kindly with those who spurn its call. Those who reject wisdom's call, who insist on going their own way, will suffer the natural consequences of that rejection. And just so nobody misses it, I'm not identifying the Joplin tornado as God's judgment. That's not what we're reading here. What we're reading here is that every tornado is a picture of the devastation of folly, of rejecting the wisdom of God. And a devastation, if not in this life, then in the next. And in either case, either in this life or the next, those who reject wisdom's call will come to their senses, but may be too late. Did you see that in 28? Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. John's revelation has a similar warning. When he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth. The full moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" Beloved, don't turn away from wisdom's call, that stirring in your heart to listen to God, to heed the Bible, to say yes to God. That's wisdom calling. Don't reject it and suffer consequences that God never intended any human to suffer. That way lies death. But you have an alternative. In the last two verses, we read that wisdom's call is universal. To heed it is deliverance. Again, wisdom's calling to every human. And every human who turns away is destroyed, but every human who listens will be protected from destruction. Verse 32, "For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster." These last two verses are a summary. They capture in about 30 words the overall message of this text. They speak of two ways. Did you see that? Verse 32 speaks of a way of destruction, and verse 33 of a way of safety and security. Notice in 32, it's the turning away of the simple that kills them. It's the complacency of fools that destroys them. Complacency, that's self-satisfaction. Smugness, you know. I'm good. I don't need that. That's destructive. And their own choices bring their end. They're destroying themselves by their own folly, their own proud refusal to listen to the instruction of wisdom. Timothy Treadwell died because he refused to listen to the instruction, to the warning. He thought he knew better. That's complacency. And he's a picture of every person who refuses to listen to wisdom. I said at the beginning, this is a warning text. Much of this text is dark. That's the nature of a serious warning. It's not fun to come to church and hear such a dark message. It's not necessarily fun to read it and study it and preach it, but it's truth. God put it in the Bible for us. And here's the wonderful part about it. It closes on a note of hope. This text ends on a bright note. Whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. The reason the good news is the good news is because of the bad news. If we weren't sinners, salvation from sin would not be good news. If there were no possibility of the destruction of folly, then salvation from that destruction wouldn't be good news. But it is good news to those who listen. If Timothy Treadwell had listened to those who warned him, he would maybe still be alive today. Maybe he would be the number one advocate for the Grizzlies. Who knows? But his story points to the importance of listening to wisdom. The call of wisdom is universal. To heed it is deliverance, is safety, is salvation. Which brings us to the end of this chapter. And here's the final piece. Friends, this text is pointing to someone. Yes, it's written to you, but it points to someone else. Its truth applies to every human, and today we still have the naive and the simple and the foolish who aren't listening to wisdom, who are walking toward destruction. This text is written to you and me, but it's pointing to someone else. Someone who came from heaven and brought wisdom. And he told his followers that the Old Testament is about him. That's what he said. And the Apostle Paul writes about him. He is wisdom. He is the power of God and the wisdom of God. But not everyone listened to the wisdom that God spoke through him. Those who listened and believed found salvation and life. Those who refused would find destruction and death. He lived among humans. He spoke. He taught loving words. He worked miracles. And then, one day, near the end of the story, he arrived in the capital from a long journey. He stood on the mountain opposite the capital city. And this is what the narrator says. When he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation." Because you did not know the time of your visitation, you did not recognize God's coming to you. Was the visitation a secret? Was God's coming hidden? No, he was right there in the flesh, and his reputation had preceded him everywhere. No one could say, "I didn't know." All they could say was, "I didn't listen." They were alerted to his coming. He preached over and over, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." His cousin John the Baptist preached that, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." But many refused to listen. They didn't heed. They didn't recognize the time of their visitation, and they would be devastated. And that's really tragic, because that's never his intention. His intention is that you would have life. His desire is to save all who come to him, and he still does that today. You see, in fact, he experienced devastation so that you might have salvation. He took your punishment on an awful Roman cross, where he not only died physically in your place, but he suffered the rejection of his own Father because he had the sins of the world, your sins and mine, on him. He died so that you can have life. He rose again. He lives today. He's calling to you in wisdom today. I wonder if you're listening. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice of our Savior, the one who is wisdom. He brings wisdom. He is wisdom. Lord, surely you are knocking on the door of hearts here today. Please, make yourself known. Please, speak your words of love and truth and give freedom. Send the gift of repentance and faith where it is needed. In Jesus' name.